warm surface. Langdon said, "Father, are you coming to see Peter?"
"I'd just slow you down."
Galloway removed his hands from the bag and zipped it up around the pyramid.
"I'll stay right here and pray for Peter's recovery. We can all speak later. But when you show Peter the pyramid, would you please tell him something for me?"
"Of course." Langdon hoisted the bag onto his shoulder.
"Tell him this."
Galloway cleared his throat.
"The Masonic pyramid has always kept her secret. Sincerely."
"I don't understand." The old man winked.
"Just tell Peter that. He will understand."
With that, Dean Galloway bowed his head and began praying. Perplexed, Langdon left him there and hurried outside. Catherine was already in the front seat of the SUV, giving the agent directions. Langdon climbed in back and had barely closed the door before the giant vehicle was rocketing across the lawn, racing northward to Kalorama Heights. Chapter 93. Franklin Square is located in the northwest quadrant of downtown Washington, bordered by K and 13th Streets. It is home to many historic buildings, most notably the Franklin School, from which Alexander Graham Bell sent the world's first wireless message in 1880. High above the square, a fast-moving UH-60 helicopter approached from the west, having completed its journey from the National Cathedral in a matter of minutes.
"Plenty of time,"
Sato thought, peering down at the square below. She knew it was critical that her men got into position undetected before their target arrived.
"He said he wouldn't be here for at least 20 minutes.
On Sato's command, the pilot performed a touch hover on the roof of the tallest building around, the renowned One Franklin Square, a towering and prestigious office building with two gold spires on top. The maneuver was illegal, of course, but the chopper was there only a few seconds, and its skids barely touched the gravel rooftop. Once everyone had jumped out, the pilot immediately lifted off, banking to the east, where he would climb to silent altitude and provide invisible support from above. Sato waited as her field team collected their things and prepared Bellamy for his task. The architect was still looking dazed from having seen the file on Sato's secure laptop.
"As I said, an issue of national security."
Bellamy had quickly understood Sato's meaning and was now fully cooperative.
"All set, ma'am," Agent Simpkins said.
On Sato's command, the agents ushered Bellamy across the rooftop and disappeared down a stairwell, heading for ground level to take up their positions. Sato walked to the edge of the building and gazed down. The rectangular wooded park below filled the entire block.
"Plenty of cover."
Sato's team fully understood the importance of making an undetected intercept. If their target sensed a presence here and decided just to slip away, the director didn't even want to think about it. The wind up here was gusty and cold. Sato wrapped her arms around herself and planted her feet firmly to avoid getting blown over the edge. From this high vantage point, Franklin Square looked smaller than she recalled, with fewer buildings. She wondered which building was 8 Franklin Square. This was information she had requested from her analyst, Nola, from whom she expected word at any moment. Bellamy and the agents now appeared, looking like ants fanning out into the darkness of the wooded area. Simpkins positioned Bellamy in a clearing near the center of the deserted park. Then Simpkins and his team melted into the natural cover, disappearing from view. Within seconds, Bellamy was alone, pacing and shivering in the light of a street lamp near the center of the park. Sato felt no pity. She lit a cigarette and took a long drag, savoring the warmth as it permeated her lungs. Satisfied that everything below was in order, she stepped back from the edge to await her two phone calls, one from her analyst, Nola, and one from Agent Hartman, whom she had sent to Kalorama Heights. Chapter 94.
"Slow down."
Langdon gripped the back seat of the Escalade as it flew around a corner, threatening to tip up on two tires.
CIA agent Hartman was either eager to show off his driving skills to Catherine, or he had orders to get to Peter Solomon before Solomon recuperated enough to say anything he shouldn't say to the local authorities. The high-speed game of beat the red light on Embassy Row had been worrisome enough, but now they were racing through the winding residential neighborhood of Colorama Heights. Catherine shouted directions as they went, having been to this man's house earlier that afternoon. With every turn, the leather bag at Langdon's feet rocked back and forth, and Langdon could hear the clank of the capstone, which had clearly been jarred from the top of the pyramid and was now bouncing around in the bottom of his bag. Fearing it might get damaged, he fished around inside until he found it. It was still warm, but the glowing text had now faded and disappeared, returning to its original engraving. The secret hides within the order. As Langdon was about to place the capstone in a side pocket, he noticed its elegant surface was covered with tiny white gobs of something. Puzzled, he tried to wipe them off, but they were stuck on and hard to the touch, like plastic. What in the world? He could now see that the surface of the stone pyramid itself was also covered with the little white dots. Langdon used his fingernail and picked one off, rolling it between his fingers. "Wax?" he blurted. Catherine glanced over her shoulder. "What? There are bits of wax all over the pyramid and capstone. I don't understand it. Where could that possibly have come from? Something in your bag, maybe?" "I don't think so." As they rounded a corner, Catherine pointed through the windshield and turned to Agent Hartman.
"That's it! We're here!"
Langdon glanced up and saw the spinning lights of a security vehicle parked in a driveway up ahead. The driveway gate was pulled aside, and the agent gunned the SUV inside the compound. The house was a spectacular mansion. Every light inside was ablaze and the front door was wide open. A half-dozen vehicles were parked haphazardly in the driveway and on the lawn, apparently having arrived in a hurry. Some of the cars were still running and had their headlights shining, most on the house, but one askew, practically blinding them as they drove in. Agent Hartman skidded to a stop on the lawn beside a white sedan with a brightly colored decal. Preferred security. The spinning lights and the high beams in their faces made it hard to see. Catherine immediately jumped out and raced for the house. Langdon heaved his bag onto his shoulder without taking the time to zip it up. He followed Catherine at a jog across the lawn toward the open front door. The sounds of voices echoed within. Behind Langdon, the SUV chirped as Agent Hartman locked the vehicle and hurried after them.